You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
Hello, everyone. This is Vince Kelvin, and you're listening to another episode of the Cosmic Code Podcast in preparation for the 4-day-long convention online only that's coming up in June 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. And prior to that, we have a very special event also to help you be more playful, to awaken a sense of being more witty and think fast on your feet. And for that, I have a very special guest with me today, an expert on the topic, a true friend of mine, and also somebody that I genuinely really admire as one of the most beautiful beings that I have known. He's a world-famous comedian. We're here with Rocco Stove. How are you, Rocco?
I'm good, Vince. Thank you for that intro, man. You're too kind, brother. Right back at you. I feel the same about you.
Ah,
thank you. I look up to you as well, brother. You're the man.
It's not kindness. It's being accurate. Well, Rocco, let's dive into it. First, what is the essence of good comedy?
The essence of good comedy is anything you're passionate about. It's got to be something that bothers you, something that you feel like hits you a little bit, you know? It can't be just, it's got to come from an authentic, genuine place of passion. And then when you're telling something, even if it's not getting the response, you feel good about it because it's something that you care about, you know? So that's kind of the key. So even if it doesn't work or it doesn't, nobody laughs at it, I feel good because I'm working on it. And if I repeat that 8 or 9 times, I'll get one funny line out of it, and then repeat it again and get 2 funny lines, then repeat it again 3, 4. Next thing you know, I got a whole funny story coming out. So it's all about reps and doing something that you care about, something that you actually care about.
So it's really a process. And a side question, I'm curious then, because it would be easy, so many people out there tend to think that they either have it or they don't. When they omit, like what you're saying, it's about, you know, starting with something and let it go somewhere, right?
Right. Well, it's, you know, I've seen some of the most unfunniest people that are some of the funniest people today. No, I mean, I would see these people on stage, and I'm like, there's no way that they're going to have a career. They are just, oh my, it's just painful to watch. And then 2 years later, they're blowing me off the stage, you know? So no, it's an art. It's like playing guitar. It's about repetition. It's about being okay with failing. You have to be comfortable with failure. But know that you're getting better as you're failing. Like, you can't look pretty and get better at the same time. It's impossible. So it's a process, you know, and it's about reps, and it's about fortitude, and it's about, you know, believing in yourself. And, you know, when you have those three things, it's the triangle, and you can't bust the triangle. So reps, fortitude, and believing in yourself. That's it.
What a beautiful metaphor. You can't look pretty and get better at the same time. Gentlemen, ladies listening, outline that one. That's true gold, Rocco. I'm super psyched. Now, what is the biggest misconception? What are some of the biggest misconceptions about telling jokes? You know, sometimes people are under the impression that it's time to tell a joke, and they're kind of missing the point. So what are misconceptions about telling jokes?
The misconception about telling jokes is it depends. What are you going for? I want to add to a party. I want to add to whatever's going on. I want to add to the atmosphere. So I kind of read the atmosphere. I don't really, some comedians like to do the shock comedy and they like to get people riled up. I don't like that. I want everybody to have a good time. So I kind of read the room a little bit. I sit back. I listen to people talk for a little bit. I see where the conversations are going. And then I add to that flow. I don't try to jam my agenda down anybody's throat. And this is just my style. This isn't everybody's style. Because I want everybody to have a good time. You know, I want it to be a party. So I don't jam my agenda down somebody's throat. If they're talking about something, I want to try to change their mind. I don't do that. I add, And then I go into, a kind of a different strategy where I will add to that and then bring my own perspective into that. You know, that's what I like to do. I just want everybody to have fun. And I kind of sit back for a few minutes and I kind of like step back and I read the room a little bit. You know, that's one of the, so a lot of people, they come in and they shock the, you know, they want to go for this shock thing, you know, and I ease in for curse words too. I don't throw curse words in right away or dirty stuff or sexual stuff too soon. I make sure they're comfortable with that. And then I give them a little dose of it. And then if they bite, then I'll go a little more, then a little more, then a little more. But if they're not biting on that, then I'll pull back and keep it clean. That's all I have on the misconceptions, really.
Yeah, that's perfect. It inspires me for a side question. You know, I'm wondering for you as a comedian, when people find out that you're a comedian, is there a tendency for people to try to be funny with you? And then also, overall in communication, oftentimes it would be easy that if we're with someone who appears to be very bright to try to go that route versus just being ourselves. So I'm just curious because I think that will be a great recommendation to kind of avoid to do that for people to stay who they are, to not try to match whom they're dealing with. So for you as a comedian, do you feel that sometimes when people know that you're a comedian, they're trying to be a little bit funny with you and they're not really funny?
Oh, man, yeah. Being funny is not something – it's got to be organic, you know. So if you're meeting me after a show for 5 minutes and you're trying to squeeze in 20 minutes of funny in 5 minutes, it usually doesn't go too well. I'm a human being, man. I want to have a conversation. I want to hear about your kids. I want to hear about your wife. I want to hear about your dog. You know, it's an art. I save it for the stage. You know, I save it for the stage and I organically let it come out in conversation. I don't force it on or fight. You know, I just kind of live it. You know, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, yeah, I had a guy in Switzerland once. I was on the train with him for 4 hours and he found out I was a comedian. He recognized me and then he was trying to give me jokes and they were like one liner jokes from like the 40s. You know, there weren't even references anybody would even know. And he's like, oh, I got another one for you here. You can use this. And I'm just like, and I had to really, really gently, you know, say, hey, sir, no disrespect, but I write my own stuff based on things that I'm passionate about. I don't use like one liner jokes with no substance. And I had to keep telling him that for about, you know, 4 hours every 15 minutes. But yeah, so it does happen a lot. Yeah.
Now, Rocco, speaking of writing your own stuff, and you kind of touched on that already to some degree a moment ago, what would be the simple comedy structure that you would recommend?
You got to be direct and specific. You know, it can't be like, well, I walked outside, I opened the door, I walked through the door, and it was sunny. You already lost the crowd. It's got to be direct and specific. It's got to go right into it, you know, and it's like you got to learn how to cut the meat off it. It's like when you got a sculpture, it looks like a block, and then you got to cut it out and carve, and next thing you know, there's this beautiful statue. So you got to get to that statue, and you get that by reps, you know. So if you have something you're angry about, traffic, you know, then you start to, you know, work that in conversations with friends. That's what I do. I don't even let them know I'm telling them a joke. I'm just like, man, what's up with the traffic? Did you see, like, you know, everybody's yelling at me. Don't they know that we're all in traffic together? Don't you know that everybody's in traffic? You know, so it starts off as you know, this thing we're getting at, we're getting in the car, but then you got to go right into the traffic. You know, you can't. Well, I'm walking out of my house. I'm late for work. That's all. We don't need to hear that. We need to hear like specific moments in traffic, you know, like I can't make a left in this town. You know, every time I try to make a left, the car's trying to T-bone me. And now you can work on that. And then you rep that thought out with somebody, anybody, friends, you're at the grocery store, you know, and then you start to get ideas and it builds and it builds and it builds. Next thing you know, you get this great statue. That's basically how it works for me. But it's about reps.
When you mentioned Switzerland, I know you toured all around the world, so you must have seen some amazing places. I would love to hear a little bit about some of your world traveling and places where you perform, where perhaps the dynamic was different and so on.
Yeah, it's crazy because I was doing a show in Singapore and everybody was like, how can they understand you? How do they? And I'm like, yeah, people learn English. They actually learn real English from England. You know, people in America, we learn English from like hip hop videos. So they actually speak better English overseas than we do here in the States. So the language barrier was not there, you know, but they were a little tight. They were a little tighter than usual, a little more reserved. But funny is funny. So funny will translate everywhere. I think the most tense show I did, I was at the DMZ in Korea right before North Korea. I did a show in the bunker for the troops, you know, right at the DMZ. And it was, you know, I'm like, man, if I can make these people laugh, you know, and I did, you know, I'm definitely doing something special because there was no microphone. We were just in a bunker, a bunch of soldiers and me. And I had to do about 35, 40 minutes and just entertain these guys. And so that was definitely an interesting one. I've been all over Asia, all over Europe, you know, Copenhagen. That was a great crowd. You know, they're just happy people anyway over there. So, you know, Ireland, they were rough. That was like a very, you know, they were hard. Make me laugh. Yeah, make me laugh. Be funny. You know, so they were a little tough to work on. But for the most part, you know, funny is funny. It translates. London, they were kind of – London, they loved me, but then I felt like they were kind of snotty to me afterwards, you know. But I still love that crowd. I still rock the house. So, yeah, you know, I pretty much did shows everywhere, Scotland and Belgium, Amsterdam, you know. So Canada, you know, you name it, all over the States. So it's pretty much funny is funny for the most part, you know.
I feel that in all forms of communication, having a reference of comedy, being more playful, and also improvisation is such a benefit because communication is key to everything, no matter who we are, whether we're the student or the teacher, the employee or the employer. You know, there was a gentleman that I studied with many years ago. He's a really famous business consultant, Brian Tracy, and one of his recommendations was no matter what you do in life, there's a couple basics that you need to constantly refine. And one of his recommendations would be for communication, the art of improvisation and comedy, and to make sure that we would consciously pay attention to how we communicate. So what would be some tips for people whose overall communication is kind of monotone and they don't apply themselves much to make their communication more lively from the standpoint of a comedian?
I mean, they just have to inoculate themselves. They got to keep putting themselves in positions where they have to talk to people. You know, that's the best thing, you know, inoculate, just submerge yourself in whatever you're uncomfortable with. You know, what I do is I don't like waving to people. I'm from Philly. We don't wave. You know, you get robbed if you wave at people where I'm from in South Philly. So, but now, like, what I do is when I go running, I purposely wave to people. And I hate it. It's awful. It hurts. It hurts my soul. But I do it. I do it because I don't like it. And it's uncomfortable. And what that does is now when I'm on stage, I feel more a part of the crowd. I feel more a part of the people. And even in conversation, like just doing that little uncomfortable thing of running and waving, even bikers that are like giving me the finger, you know, and I'm waving, hey, how you doing? They're like, get off my bike path, you know, and I'm saying, hey, how you doing, buddy? You know, and it hurts. It feels like somebody's pulling glass shards out of my stomach, but I do it. So then now when I'm done the run, you know, an hour of that, I go to the grocery store. I, you know, walk down the street. I'm talking to friends. I'm on stage. I'm doing a live show on Facebook or something like that. Just feel so connected, so a part of, you know, and that's what it's about, you know, making people feel like you're talking to them directly. Like, oh, he's talking to me. You want everybody to feel like you're talking to them directly. And that's, you know, inoculate. So just submerge yourself in whatever's uncomfortable. If that's comfortable for you, then don't do that. Do something else, you know?
It's very thorough. That's absolutely phenomenal. When it comes to improvisation, you know, personally, at some point in my career, I had a gig that was my minor in college when I went to music school. And when I came to L.A. for about 3 years, I taught evening classes all around Los Angeles, the 9 different colleges on improvisation. So I'd love to get some gold nuggets from you in terms of they're the essence of improvisation.
Improvisation is that's a difficult one, man. I've done a course with the Groundlings, and I've done a course at Second City here in L.A. And the thing about I'm a strategist, so I like to have a plan. I like to have an arsenal of attack. I don't like going in anywhere naked. So improv was just a really difficult thing for me because I had to just trust myself, be in the moment, and find something in that moment. And it's scary. And once again, I had to keep doing it. And you know, and I would be killing it in improv, but I'm planning the improv before I went on. So that's not really improv. So I had to just learn to trust myself, and I had to be. Don't think, just be, right? Don't think, just be. Just be. Just make an idiot out of yourself. Because, you know, think about when you're 5 and you're just running around making noises and acting goofy and doing silly dances and singing off key, and nobody said anything until you got older, right? And I had to really tap into that 5-year-old that with no scars, you know, no tragedy, and just be free, you know, be myself, be stupid, you know, be an idiot. It is, you have permission for this whole 5 minutes to be an idiot, you know, and it's one of the most freeing experiences, but it's hard to get there and it takes reps. So I had to keep going on, you know, in these little skits and these little scenarios where they put you in classes, you know, okay, you're this and this is your character. And I had to keep doing it. It took a lot of repetition to get to that, you know, to develop that skill. You know, it's like playing guitar. Like I said, it's like playing bass, piano. You just got to keep doing it, you know, keep. But that's the best outlook to have. Just be an idiot. Be stupid. Be funny. Let it flow, you know?
I was looking at your IMDb, and there, what recommendations, Rocco, would you have for aspiring actors and also from the standpoint of acting, since I saw that you were in quite a few projects at that level as well?
Well, to get work or to, like, get better at acting?
Better at acting, and that was another recommendation, you know, for being a more impactful, genuine communicator, to also kind of touch on a little bit of acting.
Yeah, the thing about acting is, for me, that worked for me personally was I really like to know my lines really well because I don't want to have to think. So I would just, you know, and I noticed this in acting class, people start hanging out, they're talking about their week, and I would record myself in two voices. And I'd record the voice of the person talking to me and then my voice, and then I'd practice. And like I said, I would do that repetition for about an hour straight. I would just keep doing my lines. And then when they called me up for my scene, with the improv experience and the comedy experience, the confidence from being comedy, it was easier for me to find something magical in each moment and each line than it was for other people, you know, and I wasn't doing anything special. I was just really knowing my lines extremely well, you know, just that old school blue collar hard work, you know, and then you get these great, you know, residuals, you know, you get this great residual effect where, you know, you can slow down, you know, you have that, you know, that next word. So you can, you know, feel it, pause, look at your, you know, your scene partner, connect, and then deliver, you know, and it's awesome you got to put the work in, man. You got to learn your lines. And as far as getting a work, an agent, that's a little tricky. I was able to do it through comedy. So I got lucky, you know, so everybody has their ways. You can get it through writing. You could write for a show. You could be a ghostwriter. A lot of guys get a lot of work acting because they're writers on shows, you know, so that's probably one of the better ways. Or you could be a social media phenom. You know, be really great on social media, build up a killer following, and then people will book you just because you got a million followers, you know. And then you can develop your acting skill along the way because people are going to give you work and you'll get better. You know, you just got to rep it out. You might stink for a while, but you'll get better, and that's okay, you know, because you put the work in the other thing. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Rocco, and I keep on hearing you use the word, you got to put the reps in. And, of course, by now, it's obvious to anyone who's listening and is paying attention that it transcends through all your answers. You exercise a lot of discipline. You do the work, and that's very inspiring. So what's kind of your mindset when it comes to really digging deep and doing the work?
Well, I usually write out a schedule the night before, you know, and I don't always execute it in spectacular fashion, but I have an idea of like, okay, at this time I'm going to do this. I always do some type of exercise because that's key, even if it's 30 minutes of walking. I need to do some kind of exercise. I try to get up at the same time every day, and I don't always do that, but, you know, 8 out of 10 I do, 9 out of 10. I do some sort of meditation practice. You know, you don't need a lot, 5, 10 minutes, but every day, it's got to be every day. It can't be something you do once or twice. You know, this is it. I got to have some type of exercise, some type of meditation routine. And then I have my set times for writing, and I have my set time for networking calls, and I have my set time for social media stuff. And it doesn't always go in order. Sometimes my day gets, you know, because I'm an artist, so somebody will call me out of the blue for a podcast or something like that, and I got to rearrange my schedule. But I have a certain amount of stuff every day, and I do not watch any TV or shows or anything until I've completed all my tasks for the day, and then the TV is my reward. So that's pretty much how I do it, and it's so simple, not easy, but it's the most effective thing I've found, you know. And stupid things, make the bed. You know, all that stuff's going to get your brain working. It's going to get that creative juices going. People are like, oh, I'm an artist. I don't make the bed. Bullshit. Okay, make the bed, get up at a specific time, write out a routine, maintain discipline, some kind of meditation, some type of exercise routine, whatever's conducive to your lifestyle. And don't watch any TV, YouTube, or shows until you've completed all your tasks. That's pretty much how I do it, and that's my reward. Usually by the time I get done, I don't even want to watch TV. I feel so fulfilled. I'm like, I don't even want to watch it now. I did all my shit. You know, I just want to relax, just stare at the wall. I'm happy, balanced.
Wow, that's strong.
That's pretty much it.
That's strong, Rocco. And it sounds also extremely rewarding and fulfilling. Now,
it is.
You are very multidimensional. For the times that I've known you, you know, you score so high, not that it's about that, but in a very multidimensional way. You're super entertaining, and you're also really true. You know, you are as real as can be. We can tell that you're very authentic, and also you got that edge where you really alpha. So, you know, part of my knack and my work is to pay attention to clues for greatness and success. And right there, it's quite inspiring. So any further expansion on that, what is it that allows you to be real, alpha, and also very entertaining and funny?
Well, I grew up with a very, very weak mind. You know, I was abused as a kid. I was beaten by my father. My brother was 4 years old, and he beat the shit out of me. I had a very, very weak mind growing up. I wasn't always like this. This didn't happen overnight. You know, and what it was is I got tired of feeling a certain way. I just got tired of it. And what I did was I started to take steps towards personal growth. You know, I started taking steps towards personal growth. A lot of comedians are insecure. They have a lot of, you know, childish kind of tendencies. I didn't want to be like that. You know, I love doing comedy because I love being on stage. I love performing. I'm good at it. I'm good at it. And I got that confidence because I started to do, you know, I started with push-ups every day. I started to do some push-ups, you know. They in my neighborhood, they said, you know, you're either a tough guy or you're not a tough guy. And you got picked on enough that you became a tough guy. So I inoculated myself. I started to go around these guys that were picking on me constantly, pushing me around. And eventually, you know, I started to learn from these people. I started to learn what, you know, these people are more insecure than me. I mean, what kind of a person would go after somebody else? You know, if you're secure with yourself, you don't care what anybody else is doing. You're only focused on yourself. This is you against you. This is me against me. I don't care what you're doing. You know, I'm here to help you along the way if you want the energy. But, you know, so I started off with push-ups, you know, and I started getting around these people that were trying to bully me and so on and so forth. And I started to outwork them, you know. And I think that's where my work ethic came from. And then I started to callous my own brain. I started to build calluses on my own mind. And I started to, you know, not care as much, you know. And by not caring, I was able to be more comfortable and execute comedy and you know, going in situations that are just completely, you know, like I started a yoga Facebook Live thing and I was so scared because I teach yoga too. So I was so scared to do it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to look like an idiot, you know, all those things from when I came up, and I just observed the thoughts, I observed the feelings, and I did it anyway. So the best thing to do is to do it anyway. Just do it. Just go through it. The only way to get through it is to go through it, you know?
Again, that's strong. I can hear our listeners and anticipate that people will be so inspired by hearing this. Before we wrap it up, I have two more questions. One of them is, in all forms of communication, usually people handle things pretty well until something comes around that surprises them, you know. So whether it's a one-on-one setting, a little group, a social matter, or as a matter of fact, being on stage, what tips do you have, Rocco, to recover when surprised by the response or responses of listeners, and to not be so sensitive, you know, to kind of not depend on approval from others when communicating?
Yeah, I mean, my mantra is no expectations, no disappointments. You know, I stopped trying to get a high or like some kind of craving towards a response. You know, I just put it out there. I believe in it. I sell it. If it doesn't work out, I analyze it. I step back. I detach. I look at it from an analytical view. I look at it from like a scientist. I observe. Okay, maybe I need to move this word. Maybe I need to move that. You know, maybe I need to start off with something a little more subtle. Maybe I need a quick something in the beginning. And so the best way is to not get in your feelings about it. You know, it's okay to have those feelings. Don't stuff the feelings. Feel them. Know that they're there. Okay, I'm a little depressed. I blew it, but that's okay. You know. It's like a baseball player. You know, you're not going to hit a home run every time you're at the plate. You're going to hit a single. You're going to foul out. You're going to strike out sometimes. Comedy's the same way. You're going to strike out. You're going to bomb. If you're not bombing, they say there's an old saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, in comedy, if you're not bombing, you're not trying. You got to take chances, man. You got to get comfortable with failure. You know, one of my favorite leaders used to say, the prophet of failure, the prophet of failure. And that's such a great thing to live by. Failing and quitting are two different things. I fail all the time and I learn from it, but I do not quit. I do not quit. You just keep trying. Keep trying. Relax, detach, take a breath, analyze what happened, step back into it. Fail. Remove yourself, detach, analyze. Do like a little AAR, I call it an after action report, where I write a little couple notes about what happened, and then I go back to it. Fail, boom, stop, step back, do it again, do it again, do it again. You're not going to beat me. You're not going to beat me. You're not going to beat me. That's how you win.
And what about some comedians' classic ways to exercise quick wit when it's more minimal, when for a split second the audience is not getting it? Would you have one gold nugget that people could be inspired to use if ever they're being a little thrown off momentarily? What are some good ways to recover rapidly?
Acknowledge it. Yeah, you could acknowledge it. Like, oh, that was awkward. That was slow. Or you could put it on yourself. Or one of the things Kevin Hart told me was, he says, just act like it didn't even happen. And you know, and what I do is I prepare. So I have something really, like I have something that I do. Like if it gets really awkward or slow, I kind of make the crowd feel bad. I'm like, it's okay if you don't laugh at this. My dad was a dick. You know, he used to beat me. I was beat up as a child. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody was beat up? Anybody have a dad that was a dick? You know, and then they kind of, you know, laugh a little bit. And, you know, and then I go back to, I'm like, I can take it. You know, my dad was an asshole, you know, and then, and that's one of the things I do. So find something, you know, whether it was, you know, you failed, you know, hey, I failed. I got held back in fourth grade. I don't care if you laugh at this or not, you know, like something, you know, some vicissitude that you work through, you know, that's obvious that you've gotten over, you know, that's always a good way to overcome some silence. So if you find like, you know, maybe you've got the lowest GPA in college, you know, it's like, hey, listen, I can take it. I had the lowest GPA in my class, you know, so, something like that. And it makes it more human. It makes them look at you like you've overcome something and that you're going to get right back to it, you know.
I have one more question. Prior to that, Rocco, what would be your social media handle or the best? And I'm also going to put it in the description of the podcast for people who want to check out your comedy or follow you.
All my handles are Rocco Comedy, R-O-C-C-O Comedy. And you can call this, so that's a Twitter, that's Instagram, and Twitter, that's my Instagram account. So Rocco Comedy, R-O-C-C-O Comedy. And I guess I would like to call this podcast Comedic Fortitude.
Yeah, I will need some help with the spelling of the second word, but I'm down.
I went to Philadelphia school systems. I barely talk English, Vince. You're going to have to just Google it.
Wow. So on my side, I'm psyched. Rocco is going to do a very special event with me, doing the Power of Playfulness. That's coming up most likely by the time you will hear this podcast. It will have been passed, but anybody that's coming, we're really looking forward to it. As you can tell, this is going to be as rich as can be. And Rocco will also be part of the surreal, diverse lineup for the Cosmic Code Online Edition. This is the convention, and we have entertainers, you know, like Rocco will be there. We have Six Gun Sal, the band. We have experts in spirituality, in all aspects of business and so on. So it's going to be quite phenomenal. I'm very, very grateful. You'll find all the links there in the description. And in conclusion, Rocco, you're a perfect example of the true spirit of survival. I know you're also a former Marine. So at the time of this recording, we're still in the midst of lockdown for COVID-19. So I'm wondering what most inspires you in challenging moments that can empower our listeners?
What I did was I doubled down on all my discipline. You know, that's what I did. So it's really easy to sleep all day through this and not get things done. But what I did was I doubled down on my discipline. I get up an hour earlier now. I don't really, you know, have a set time for people to wake up. Like if you wake up at 10, you know, try waking up at 9 during this thing, you know. And, you know, like I said, just really finding that inside of me, like through, you know, exercise and some type of meditation, some type of quieting the mind, you know, whether it's, you know, listening to a cool, you know, spiritual thing on YouTube or anything, just something where you get quiet for an hour, you know, throughout the day. That's kind of my thing. And then, you know, and I started to find, you know, I started to get all the wisdom, you know, the universe is trying to talk to us constantly, you know, but we're too busy. You know, we don't know how to listen. So I try to get quiet doing something. I try to focus my mind doing something and listen to all what's being said to me. And that's where I kind of get my inspiration from, You know, I think Einstein did a lot of stuff like that, thought experiments, and he would just get quiet for 4 or 5 hours a day, and all this knowledge would just come to him. And that's where he came up with that formula. Am I Einstein? Hell no. Can I get some cool stuff from the universe? Hell yeah. Well, we all can. But we got to learn how to get quiet and listen for the inspiration. Thanks.
Rocco, you're a true inspiration, and we have just confirmed that my initial statement was not kindness. It was me being accurate. So I thank you. Thank you so much, brother, for this. And thank you guys for listening. So much more to come. Much love. Thank you. And again, thank you, Rocco.
All right. Take care, brother. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon, Rocco. Now. Thank you.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.